How do we lead with confidence, excellence, and humility? And the humility point is a great one. Are you willing yourself to, you know, subordinate yourself to others? Because they may know something better than you, and don't always feel like you're the smartest person in the room.
On today's show, we have the brilliant Jake Brody. Jake is a senior managing director and the lead for Accenture Song in the US South Market Unit, where he and his team deliver relevant, creative, and growth-focused solutions for clients across all industries and sectors. A senior, strategic, growth, client, and P&L leader, Jake believes in the power of human experiences to make meaningful and impactful change that matter to businesses, organizations, and governments, and those they serve.
Never be afraid to bet on yourself if you have confidence in not just what you can bring, but what others can do to help you be better. I fundamentally believe that if you surround yourself with people with different perspectives and points of view and educational backgrounds, that innovation will happen and great things will happen for your company. We're just not going to be successful if we're living in a sea of sameness, right? It's just not the case.
I am Joanna Howes, your host, and this is the Courageous Leaders Club podcast. It's a space to inspire leaders to step into their courageous zone and be the leader they know they can be. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Courageous Leaders Club. I am so excited to introduce the brilliant Jake Brody to the show. Jake, welcome.
Hey, Joe, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
Oh, I am, because it's been a while since we met, and I saw Jake talk at Little Black Book about culture is king, and I was in the audience just going, I must grab him. He needs to come on the podcast. So thank you so much for giving us your time.
You make me blush a little bit there. I appreciate it. It's going to be fun. It's been a while. I mean, last time we were together on a beach, and it was exciting times. So I'm just excited you wanted to have another conversation.
So Jake, the question that I'm so curious to know is, what does courageous leadership mean to you?
It's a great question. I love the topic of your whole sort of activity and podcast, Joe. You go through your career. I'm 26 years at Accenture. I'm a senior managing director in our Accenture Song business. And I think back on that time, and there are probably many moments over my career where you had to sort of have some form of courageous leadership. And to me, it may not be sort of these singular points. It's sort of a collective of, I call them sort of leadership. For me, my own leadership principles, right? If you think through being intentional in the way you engage with people on your own teams, with your customers or clients, the folks in your community, having focus on speaking with candor and being transparent, I think that lends a sense of credibility and trust in the way you engage with folks. Representation matters, and that sort of can sort of take many, you know, forms and respects. But as a leader, if you think about the rooms that you are in, or the rooms that you are not in, the rooms that other folks may not be in, as a leader, are you being courageous enough and intentional enough to make sure that folks are represented and voices are represented? And so a lot of that, those sort of three things, if I look back on, are a little bit of a through line around intentionality, representation, right? And so that to me is a starting point, I think, about that stuff. And the last thing is always around stewardship. And then we at Accenture have our set of core values. Stewardship is one of those core values. And it's one that early in my career, you're sort of going, okay, these are interesting core values. It really sticks with you to think through the point of, are you leaving the place better than when you arrived? If you have that mentality, then the rest of it falls into place, delivering great client service, right? Operating with integrity, having the best people around you, and having the sort of honesty and respect for the individual. Like those things sort of work in tandem. And then suddenly you go, I think I've made an impact, right? And that's the last thing for me is like, are you making an impact in what you do? Not every day, because there are days where you just need to get through it. But there are days where you say to yourself, am I making an impact on myself, my teams, my clients, right?
Lovely. And such a different answer to we've had before, which I just love. What I'm curious about, this intentionality, is this something you feel you've always had, or is it something you learned through being in business and becoming a leader?
I would say it's interesting. There's a lot of my sort of personal story. I think it's probably, I look at it hard and say it's probably something I've always had. And some of that comes from circumstance, comes from sort of the worldview that I bring. My father was from the US. He was in the Peace Corps, went to Ghana, West Africa, met my mother there. So you can imagine this sort of white Jewish guy from Western Pennsylvania going to Ghana, meeting a village woman. They fall in love and have me and my sister. And so to me, I look back and go, okay, so that I was in that room, right? I was in the village, I'm probably the product of a white man and a black woman. So I'm different from the sort of the normalcy. Then we moved to the States and I'm sort of this international African kid, right? In Iowa City, Iowa, like small town, right? America. Then we moved back to West Africa. My dad was in the UN at this international school. And now you're the American kid in this international school. So those, I think I look at that and say that had to help me develop a sense of, you know, place, a sense of how I can engage across multiple communities and cultures and peoples. And that to me then sort of drove this point about being intentional in the way I engage and at least having this sort of open mindset to be able to sort of listen first, like collaborate always, right? Engage with impact.
Did that then form the representation to then really make sure people have that representation, feel like they belong and are welcome?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so in my business career, it was then I always challenged myself on, I believe I had something to offer and I wanted to have a seat at the table to offer it. And so how do you make that come to reality? And it's around continuing to learn and understand sort of the state of the business, the businesses we are in, looking across the table or around you in the room with the folks who are there and what talents they can bring to amplify what you may not have and what talents are you bringing to amplify what they may not have. And so I think about that from my business career as you sort of dissect it, you say, oh, right, that's how it manifested itself. And it's kind of interesting.
You can see that how the stories just come along, which is just like
they build along and it's sort of, and it becomes as rich as. And so then I use that when I'm sort of doing my work today, well, with my teams, with my clients around always sort of having the ear open to listen to not just what they're saying, but what their intentions are behind it. Are there some issues at play that you've got to sort of dig into to sort of help them have the greatest impact that we believe they want to have? And so that to me are some of those pieces around, I kind of bring another lens of way we think about things around sort of these core leadership essentials that we have, right? Like some of these things are sort of, you may say they're classical things, right? Always doing the right thing, right? But I always just say that's great. Second one is around how do we lead with confidence, excellence, and humility? And the humility point is a great one. Are you willing yourself to subordinate yourself to others because they may know something better than you, right? Don't always feel like you're the smartest person in the room. I almost had a lesson once years ago, a leader shared with me a great teaching point, and I used it with others in sort of middle of my career. And the point was, you don't have to fill the vacuum. Because imagine you're in a meeting, someone says something, someone else says something, and then there's like this awkward silence, or there's just a silence. And sometimes as a young person in your career, you feel like, well, you've got to contribute. You got to sort of add in your two cents or overlay it. And she just said, sometimes you don't need to fill the vacuum. Let the points stand as they are so that when you actually make your points, they come across with even more weight and impact because you're not that person who's sort of clamoring away or jabbering away in every conversation. And folks, your words are get diluted. To me, that humility point is a great one. And then we're in the client service business. So it's always around how you're driving great client service. You think about your clients, not just as people who, you know, pay for your services, but they're really partners, right? And so if you think about what folks are trying to achieve and you're helping to solve for their dreams, the same way you do that with your client partners, they're human beings, right? They've got career aspirations and things they got to solve. And so we're not just there to deliver a widget or a task or an activity. I'm there to help you solve a problem that you sought me out for help for. And that's going to make you successful. We should be friends about that, right? It's going to be great. So to me, there's a lot of those things I wrap up and that ties into really understanding and caring deeply for your people, right? And sort of living through our own core values. And so I appreciate the way we think about stuff at Accenture and Accenture Song. A lot of stuff amplifies probably things that have already developed to your point around nature versus nurture, which makes it exciting, right? Why you do the things you do for a long time.
Beautiful. This is why I wanted you on the show. This is how you talk about caring for people. It's so lovely to listen to. And it's so interesting that you talk about the client side as well, because I've been working with a lot of agencies recently and there's a lot about internal comms, but actually, how are we talking to our clients? And I've been sharing, you know, you've got all this stuff going on inside you. You've got your fears, your worries, your beliefs, your values. But just remember, your clients have got the same stuff going on, the same worries, the same fears.
Absolutely.
Not suddenly any different just because they're called a client. They've got the same pressures. And it was so interesting. So many people go, I've never asked my client this. I didn't know that about my client. And it's like, get to know someone. That's where trust comes, is when you get curious about someone.
That curiosity point is a key one. I think we often use it too much around, hey, be curious about what's changing in technology or business and go study the next big wave and what's happening out there. And we forget about at the end of the day, like, we're human beings, right? And we all sort of have base needs, like security, food, safety, love, all that stuff that comes with that. And so if you're curious about the other person, where they're from, not the what makes them tick, but just who they are, but you're doing it in a way that is sort of natural and not sort of creepy, you get to know someone, right? Like, at the end of the day, like, people want to work with people they like. And that's the same way, whether it's a buy-sell relationship from a client service perspective. It's, I want to work with folks I like because I'm thinking about their success equates my success. But more so, wherever your community you're in, those are folks you're going to see out of the shop or in the community or at a pub or whatever. And why would you want to hang out with them, right? They should be friends of yours, not just sort of business colleagues.
Yeah. And then just really understanding someone can also help you go, if your client or your colleagues are having a bad day,
you give them the space and grace, right?
And you don't make it about you. So many people are like, oh, the client hates me. And I'm like, I'm sure it's nothing to do with you. Probably the child is sick or something's happening. But as humans, we tend to make everything about ourselves versus thinking about what's going on for the other person. Let me think about them first. Something you mentioned, which I think is fantastic. Accenture, you've been there for 26 years. That's a long time, especially in today's world.
We've got the gray hairs.
How has that been? I know you've moved around a lot, but working for the same company for 26 years, how do you feel that's just really helped you evolve as a person and who you are today?
It's a great question. And when I started in 1997, I was sort of wanted to be focusing on public service type work, public sector type work. I was a traditional consulting person. And the thing I remember and still holds true today, one of the core things about what we do here is providing folks with the opportunity, honestly, it may sound trite, but to achieve the career they wanted to design for themselves. Now, there are obviously, we've got a business we're trying to run. There are certain things we're trying to accomplish. And so your career is not going to be a straight line from A to Z. It does meander. And that's where the joy of it comes from. I was a traditional consulting type person. I was doing business transformation kind of work for in our federal government client space. And then I moved into sort of a growth role where I was doing business development and I ran a business development team. Then I was asked to be a lead of one of our clients and grew that business where I really had the opportunity to run a P&L and leading people and direct client relationship. And then that expanded to two large clients and a practice. And so then I now run a big practice in our song business. So that zigzag taught me a lot of things around different parts of our business. And so I often challenge our, you know, newer folks, you need to understand what we do, right? Wherever you are, whatever organization you're in, you need to understand the core thing of what that company does. Do they make cars? Do they make boxes? Do they deliver services? What is the thing they do? And how does that company work? You understand those fundamentals, then you can build from that to figure out what do you now need to learn to be even more impactful, right? And that's, remember my point earlier about being intentional? In your career, you need to be intentional about where I want to go. If you're a finance person, you say to yourself, I really want to continue to have a big impact in sort of the finance vertical of my organization. Well, then look way up and say, what are the things that the CFO is thinking about and what matters or resonates? Even if you're like a financial analyst at the bottom of the ladder, because having that broader worldview will enable you then to figure out what things you need to learn, what roles you want to have, how you then navigate as you progress to have that impact. If somebody says, hey, Joe, you've been doing a great job in the role you're in. We'd like you to take on some more. And you're saying, I'm happy to take on more because I feel like I've either accomplished what I wanted to accomplish here or what I've accomplished here is foundational to my ongoing development. And so for me, right, doing the client service delivery work and then moving into a sales role, how do you grow a business from a business development standpoint to then running an account, right, running a P&L, all were aspects of building blocks of, I think, getting to a place where I run a great practice across 13 states in Puerto Rico and the US and across all industries. And it's massively fulfilling. It's super challenging, but it sort of hits some things that are important to me around being a leader and leading people, right?
Is where you are now, thinking about being intentional where you wanted to go, is where you are now where you saw yourself being?
We used to be a partnership. And so I think when I started, I was like, yeah, I want to be a partner. So how do you get there? It was sort of, you had a loosely defined aspirational pathway and you had to then sort of make it real, right? This pencil on paper, you needed to turn it into pen on paper. And so when I look back, am I sort of surprised about where I am? I would say no. Am I grateful? Absolutely. And can I see how it came about so I can share that with others? Yeah, right? There were, again, pockets of things that I was doing in some cases, not being afraid when you realize I've kind of run my course in the current role I'm in, whether it's sense of fulfillment or excitement, or you are just losing the juice and I needed to sort of be challenged somewhere else. And so I had some of those moments in my career where I took some risks on roles that were loosely defined. Future could have been a quick fall off the cliff that turned. I tell folks, I'm like, never be afraid to bet on yourself. If you have confidence in not just what you can bring, but what others can do to help you be better.
That confidence, betting on yourself, is something I'm a leadership coach, and a lot of people come to me for help with doing that. They don't know how to back themselves. In terms of your environment you were brought up, or in terms of leaders you've been surrounded with, or has it always been innately in you to back yourself and bet on yourself?
I think it's a little bit of both, Jill, honestly. And my earlier story was sort of my personal story when I realized that I felt like, again, I wanted to have something to offer. I believe I had something to offer. I wanted to make sure I had a seat at the table to do that. I also felt like in the various rooms that I was in, whether I was telling you about how I was viewed in various places in my life based on where you come from, and then you had to sort of navigate those worlds, I know I did purposefully and consciously think about not being afraid of being in a room, like not being like, I don't belong here. I always felt like wherever I walked into the room, I'm going to belong here. Depending on where you are, it wasn't from a position of arrogance. It was like, hey, if folks want to look at me, whatever they first see in their initial snap judgments, depending on the room you're in, based on my cultural background, color of my skin, my educational background, whatever, and whatever snap judgment they wanted to believe in, yeah, that didn't matter to me. I believe I could sort of, I had a position in a place where that's, I get that's not for everybody, and it, but it's really, it was something that I know I took to heart early in my life around stand tall and be proud of where you are. And probably some of that came from, honestly, my parents, my mother, right? Again, third wife of a village elder who then decided to get out of that situation, right? And make a different life for herself. So
that's really touched me, because my whole life, I definitely didn't feel I didn't belong. And I think I was brought up with a mom who never felt like she belonged. So I think it just naturally rubbed off. And I just remember always hiding myself because I was like, I don't know if I belong. Should I be here? I'm not sure. And just listening to you there going, I just chose that I was going to belong. I was just like, oh yeah, that just makes sense. Just you have the choice to decide you don't belong, or you have the choice that you're going to belong. Right. And I know like environments and culture can influence that and help you feel it or not. I love that mental choice of just choosing, I am going to belong in this room and I'm going to belong here. That's just...
Because what do you have to lose? You leave the room at the end of it, and either people say, I'd love to have Joe back, she was fantastic, or they forgot about you, but you went to the next room. Didn't matter.
Just keep going. But as you said earlier, it's a learning moment.
Correct.
How do you look after yourself or break it down to make it manageable?
We're a big company where you have to sort of communicate, not overly often, but you need to communicate sort of a sense of place and purpose. I think you have to operate with a level of truthful optimism and the sense of excitement about where we are, where we're going, what we're doing, but also be grounded in if times are challenging, like to be candid about it. Hey, we're going through some challenging times right now, but here's where I think we're going to go next and why we all need to be working together to do it. Don't hide the stuff, right? And I tell teams, I say, ask me whatever questions you can, you want to ask. I will answer. And if I don't know the answer, I will tell you I don't know the answer. And so there may be something, and I say, and maybe something like just can't tell you right now, but we will be sharing those things at a future point. So again, that's that candor and transparency point I raised earlier. And then I think I've got a series of direct reports, probably the usual like business touch points weekly. We do some things on my team. We open every meeting with good news, both personal and professional. And so that creates this level of relationship health and trust where we're going to celebrate what's going on in people's lives, or we're going to celebrate what's going on in people's business areas. And that sort of sets the tone for then the business meeting. Let's do the good news. What's going on? We get really excited about it all. We sort of dig in some more. Maybe we have some good banter. We want to amplify those in other sort of forums, and we get into sort of the business stuff, but that's already set a tone of the team cohesiveness together. And to me, that makes that sort of having a large team, not just manageable, but sort of really enjoyable, right? And giving people a sense that your door is always open. Yeah, those can be trite terms, but I tell folks in meetings, like we all use technology, like, hey, ping me on Teams. I'm always available. And maybe it's a bad habit or a good habit, but I'm very responsive in Teams. I'm a consumer of email. I know people like to use different things, but I like to sort of go back to emails. Like, my inbox is a disaster zone. I'm sure there's something. I'm sure someone would say that guy's got issues with, you know, thousands of emails, because I will read it. It goes to red and I'd be like, I want to remember what Joe was sending me so that I highlight it as unread so I can go back later. Already sort of internalized it in my brain. Somewhere in my brain, it's stuck, right? So I know where I'm good at that stuff. I know like how it works for me. So, yeah.
And I think we all have our strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure someone will look at my inbox and be like, you know, figure this out.
I just loved, and that was something you said in the talk I heard you, and you said, we start every meeting with good news, which really got me curious. What it connects with for me is we talk about state, like getting people in the right state, and that psychology that to make a good decision, to have focus, your state, getting in the right place. So it sounds like the way you use this good news gets everybody's psychology in the right place to go, right, we've done this, we've celebrated this, we've got this. What else needs to be covered that we need to go through? So then people are in the right state of mind to hear anything that's more challenging.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's right. And then it's to be, you use that to get them in the right state. And that's sort of the, you've been in meetings where that beginning is like no informing, like someone's coming in late and coming in hot or whatever. And they know they can come into the good news and it's like a place they can take a breath, get ready, right? Collect their thoughts. And so it does create a bit of a calming exercise while also, I use it also as a means of, I've heard from Joe in a while. Hey, Joe, any good news over there? Right. And it's not to put you on the spot, but it's to give you the space, because maybe, as we said earlier, there's something else going on with you and you haven't been quiet recently or whatever, but like, let's just have that conversation. You may say, hey, not much happening. And we're like, great, we'll see you next time. And then you've been seen and you've been heard, right? And so that's important to do that. And then you get into the state, you know, you get into normal sort of business operation stuff where you set tone, direction, reviews, and all that kind of goodness. Setting the state is, it's a great way to put it. Setting the tone and tenor is always important in whatever form.
Yeah. And I love that you said that you invite people to talk, because everyone's different. Some people prefer to be invited in versus volunteer the news as well. So just recognizing the different types of people in the room as well.
Yeah. There are some who are going to chime in with a bunch of things to offer, and that's great. I try not to cut them off. And then I want to make sure somebody else gets covered. And you want to also make sure you're using that good news to amplify the ways in which you want good news to be celebrated. Hey, I had a meeting with Joe. That's interesting. But like, hey, we won this thing, or we actually finally got this engagement, or somebody on the team had a great personal outcome, or we did this great community service thing. Okay, those are things we really want to highlight, right? And not just the routine and mundane stuff, right?
And listening to you, because the statement that you said when I met was how you make a big company feel small. These sort of celebrations, the open door, the emails, it just sounds, that's a way that you, people don't feel like they're just a number. They are part of something.
Yeah. You do that. And one of the things I do outside of even just the good news part is every year, you know, everybody's got corporate strategies. We're going to do this and drive this and do that. I've put together over the past couple of years, we sort of have, I call it our own team, like mantra for the year. We already we know our usual like business stuff. We're going to go achieve these results. And that's the aspiration we have. But then, what's our mantra, right? And this past year has continued to be the same one. Coming out of the pandemic, we say, hey, it's really, let's go have some fun, right? That's sort of the, we're going to do A, we're going to do B, we're going to do C, but no matter what, let's go have some fun, right? And we're going to do that so that it's on our materials for our internal meetings. We want to sometimes close team emails with that, right? It's to remind folks of, we're going to work hard, right? We're going to do great work for our clients. We're going to expand opportunities for our people. We're going to sort of thrive and strive together. No matter what, we're going to have fun while we do it.
Really nice. Because that is to say, I think that's, I've worked in agencies for 20 years. And unfortunately, that is the thing that is the cost to being so busy. It's like last on the agenda with having fun.
You remind ourselves, though, leaders, like doing that can be formal and informal. It doesn't mean you have to have like free coffee stations and bouncy balls and all that kind of stuff. It's just sort of, again, the sort of sense of tone and the way you approach things and what you celebrate and how you celebrate it. And how you amplify voices, and people go like, I'm having a good time. I'm looking forward to going to work or engaging with my team or my colleagues.
I don't know exactly, but I did read in your article something about you can't just measure like your financial things. You need to also be able to check people are happy. How are you measuring that human potential and that happiness within the company, not just the numbers you're hitting?
Absolutely right. We talk about that all the time around like happiness, engagement. Do they have a sense that sometimes, do you have a best friend at work? Do you have a friend who's someone who you enjoy spending time with? And then again, that relationship, it gives you sort of that like confidence partner around how you do things. Having the fun, having the engagement, we do focus on that a lot because that is a foundational element to doing the work. Because otherwise, the work suffers. If people are not engaged or happy, then they're going to be distracted and disinterested in the work for the clients, that we don't do our best work.
And this is the crazy thing. I think most people know this in theory, but I haven't come across many people who actually put it into practice and care about it and make sure it's actually happening.
Yeah. I mean, we do that a ton. I think we measure a lot of things, and that's one of the ones that's like of critical importance to many of us. And it, I think a sign of good leaders are those who dig underneath that and embrace it a bit more and then really try to create ways in which to improve it and do it. Not in a way that feels performative, right? We want to stay away from that, but it's really like, this is legitimate because our people can see through it. You can see through the falseness of stuff, right?
So getting into the grit a little bit here, people listening here going, oh, this all sounds brilliant. This is great. But where is it really tough? And you said, like, your role must come, as you said, with challenges.
Yeah.
What are, in terms of yourself personally, the way you need to think and look at, where are those challenges and how do you navigate them?
Yeah. I mean, it's, let's just be clear. There's a lot going on in the world right now. There's a ton of, you ever heard the acronym FUD? Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And that's creating stress. And we often talk about this creating stress and angst in the system, right? System being wherever you happen to be at. And so as a leader, I think you just have to be even more aware of what is going on and how that may be impacting your people and finding ways in which there's a high level of value in just being understanding. I understand what's going on, right? I understand how this may make you feel. And so I think about, we've been in this constant cycle of challenge. And we did some things last year. We put out an annual trends report. I'm sure you've seen our Accenture Life Trends. We sort of sourced this globally from a whole host of our design leaders across, and they do research and look across culture and organizations. And we cover these life trends every year. We put them out and really talked about the things that are impacting the world. And last year, there was definitely a sense of, I can't recall the term, but there's definitely a sense of despair that was happening, right? And like, how is that impacting consumer behavior and sentiment and communities and the way they engage with brands and companies and whatnot? And we looked ahead this year, we released our trends. There's an interesting angle in there. Historically, we've come to expect a whole lot from services or whatever. And the realization is maybe things aren't as we had hoped. And so there's a different expectation now as humans and consumers that's going to manifest itself on companies and brands around. We expect a bit more, but we also expect more from the standpoint of what it means to me as a human being. And that's, I think, a different way that companies have to think about that stuff. So, I mean, to me, that maybe a long-winded way of talking about, as you think about your teams and maybe for your listeners out there, I think that point of really having some clear understanding of where people are coming from, right? And not the whole put yourself in their shoes. I'm not going to put myself in Joanna's shoes. I'm going to have appreciation for the shoes that she's in and have care and understanding of what she's going through so I can then appropriately engage in the right way to help you thrive and be successful. There's that. I think there's, I mentioned earlier around having an honest sort of tone and tenor with which you lead your teams and your business where you can be candid and transparent, but at the same time, having that sense of there is still positivity out there and how are you going to achieve it and have that sense of optimism and really having that focus on you as an organization. What is your strategic intent and where are you trying to go? And we know the journey is still unformed, but you can still place down the steps that we're all needing to take to get there. And that gives people a sense of, okay, I understand where we're trying to get to. I know the part I have to do and I'm ready to rally, you know, together and make it happen.
Yeah. What I'm hearing there is that when that uncertainty is there, and then we know uncertainty can create fear and the doubt, it's helping putting some small steps in because that can start to build the certainty back up. If someone can see the next step, at least they've got some certainty of where we're going, even if it's just the first step.
That's right. And break it down, right? I mean, it can all feel too big to deal with. You got to say, hey, let's take a pause and a breath. Let's like lift up sort of the weight. And let's look at the things that we're trying to solve for, right?
Yeah. So, really nice. And personally for you and your leadership, where have you had some challenges or some setbacks where at the time it was like, oh my word, can't believe this has happened or I've done this, but you can look back and go, I'm actually really grateful it happened.
Yeah. So there are a couple of things. I look back early in my career, I was going after a big piece of business. So we ended up not getting it, right? And I really thought like, okay, that's a massive step back. How am I going to recover from that? And the lesson I got from one of my mentors and leaders at the time was take every piece of the things that we did. We did everything right, right? Like we did everything right. We were well positioned. Clients make decisions. That's just the way business is. They make decisions and they go the other way. And I had taken it personally, like, oh, it was on me. And my mentor broke it down. I said, let's look back on what we all did together. Because remember, it wasn't just you by yourself. So that was one of the lessons of what you've done. You're not doing it by yourself. You're doing it collectively with others. And it's sort of, I tell folks, make sure you have other people in the boat with you. Right? Pressure test your ideas or the things you're doing with others so that either you're going to make a decision as a leader, like, this is what we're going to go do, that others have said, I understand what you're trying to accomplish and I support that. And so when things happen, not you're trying to shirk away from responsibility, but it was, we all made decisions together to do something. So that was one. And the second one in that sort of challenging time was then a little bit of doubt on like your own capabilities. And it was like, have I missed something or did not achieve something? And there are probably some things that I sort of then doubled down on. I need to go get smarter at A, B, and C and learn that for the next situation. Put that out there like a business lens experience that was transformative. Because then, like, you know, funny enough, like the client came back 6 months later and realized they made a mistake. And we ended up getting the bits and pieces of the work, but in smaller chunks over time, which is great. Like you just sort of say, you're humble and you say, we appreciate the opportunity to serve, to work with you. Right? No, I told you so, Joe. No, I told you so. But the second one was interesting. And I share the story not to sort of overly change tone and topic, but it's a little bit of the sort of having the courage to call out where you see wrongs happening. And I was in a meeting early morning, coming off the weekend. There'd been a golf tournament that weekend, right? And Tiger Woods, this is a while ago, probably over 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And the person in the room was trying to make some kind of like off joke, you know what I mean? And I sort of nipped it in the bud with the comment of, is that because you think we all look alike kind of thing? You can get where I'm coming from, right?
Yep.
And I'd look back on it and the person got really quiet quickly. Everyone else was like, hmm. And the person came to me later on and just said, I hadn't appreciated how my language or my conversation may have been either out of line or insensitive. And I just said, what I want you to do is be aware of how words matter and how maybe we think it's sort of banter, but it matters. And so for me, having the courage to call it out at the time, we were in a sort of interesting situation. I kind of read the room. I could do it that way and not feel like I was being over the top. That person was senior to me. It wasn't like I was the senior person. I was the junior person, but having that courage to sort of call it out. And it was a teachable moment for that person as well as for myself around, hey, words matter for good and for bad. You have to have the courage, regardless of what level you're at. I often say leadership is at all levels. You have to have the courage, regardless of the level you're at, to call out things that are inherently, you know, wrong, right? And so those are some moments that then I carry forward where my earlier point about being in the room, having something to offer, and wanted to make sure I could make an impact, and then having the courage to sort of call out issues that matter and representation is important.
And it is so, so important. And I know you've written and you've done a lot of work for it. And something just to kind of make sure we mention, I know you're very passionate that companies don't see this as just a tick box exercise and do representation in the company. What do you share in that? Leaders listening here, well, how do you want people to be thinking about it?
I really think we're in a challenging time where language has been misconstrued and we got issues all over the place. I fundamentally believe that if you surround yourself with people with different perspectives and points of view and educational backgrounds, that innovation will happen and great things will happen for your company. We're just not going to be successful if we're living in a sea of sameness. This is not the case. And so that intentionality and not doing a tick box exercise really comes from saying, challenging yourself as a leader, have I looked in many places for talent, if we're talking about talent? Have I sought out different ideas to challenge or challenge is a positive or negative, to challenge the idea we have on the table. If I've heard from different voices to help impact and amplify what we're trying to solve for. And if you're doing that, then I feel like you're going to look around the room one day and realize you've got a very rounded organization with people from diverse backgrounds that can feel like they can thrive in that place because they feel safe, secure, and included. Right? And so I'd put out to your listeners, think through what you're trying to do and really embrace the value that is all of our shared differences and our, frankly, our shared commonality.
Yeah. And I think courage has played a lot through what you've talked about today. Before I go to the last question, what I'd love to know, is there any areas where you'd like to now be more courageous in your leadership going forward?
I was thinking about this. There are some things I've been asking myself, but really sort of saying, where in the world that I'm in, where business and technology and creativity are going, as we at Accenture Song are sort of the world's largest tech power creative network and group, like, where could really have an impact on brands, consumers, and culture and community? And so for me, it then, I'm really sort of doubling down a bit on looking at different sources of cultural insight. And it's sort of full circle. If I think about like my background and history and saying, okay, am I really diving into amplifying all those various nuances and pieces? And so that's the thing as a leader, I'm trying to sort of figure out on top of the, I'd say the usual business operations and running a part of our business. There's that. And the second one I think is on, I'm not getting any younger, Joe, unfortunately, but my own, like your own sort of wellness, right? I think you sort of have to remind yourself that we can sort of be in this grind, having the courage to take time for yourself. And that's a weird thing to sort of be a little bit selfish, but sort of saying, okay, I need to take time for myself because if I do that, I'm going to be even better for the people around me.
It's funny. I think sometimes because we say, oh, it's selfish. Is it selfish or is it something we've all got to recognize we need? Because if we keep seeing it as being selfish, it makes it harder, I think, to do. But that self-care is absolutely number one. And that's why put your oxygen mask on first, because then you can actually then put more oxygen on other people.
So good, so good.
We so easily forget this, to take care of ourselves. But it's so, so important. So thank you for sharing that. I love finishing on this question. From all your experience and insights and journey you've been on, and the beautiful care you have for people, what is that piece of advice you'd pass on to your younger self?
Take the risk a little earlier, but then I can say I did it early enough. I don't know. I mean, study a bit more on some other pieces of technology.
Keep it relevant.
Yeah, stay even more relevant. Invest in Apple early. I don't know. Amazon early or something like that. No, honestly, I think it's just, I would probably tell my younger self, continue to be curious, continue to look at the world through others' eyes, continue to sort of seek to explore new ideas, new cultures, new places, new spaces, and sort of really internalize earlier on sort of those views that, you know, that you look back and go, oh, of course they're there, but you sort of really get that going earlier and sort of share and evangelize to others even more so, then I think things will be good.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much. Is there any just final messages or anything you'd like to reinforce to the listeners before we close?
First of all, thank you so much, Joe. I think this is a great context space you provide for people and leaders out there. So thank you for that. And to the leaders out there, thank you for what you're doing. I would just say, let's just keep doing goodness and keep striving forward. And I'll share here. I'm sure, Joe, I'm happy to have folks to reach out if you like. Find me on LinkedIn and happy to extend the conversation. But this has been a joy. I appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you so much, Jake. It's absolute joy to listen to you and get to see you again. And thank you for everyone listening. And we'll see you on next week's episode. Take care. A huge thank you to you for listening to the Courageous Leaders Club. I'd love to know if anything from today's conversation resonated with you and what your key takeaway is. Will you do anything differently? Have you learned something you'll take forward in your own leadership? Do take a moment to connect with us on LinkedIn, where you can share your thoughts. You can connect personally with me at my email, joanna.hounds@thechangecreators.com. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. This will really help us grow our podcast and reach and help as many people as possible. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. Finally, for those of you who are seeking to take action today, you can book a free strategy call with me, and together we can produce an action plan to implement into your leadership and business. You can head to the link in the show notes to book now. Thank you so much again for listening, and I'll meet again on the next episode of the Courageous Leaders Club.